So let me open with prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Brad, to get it. Father, we are thankful for just a morning like this, another reminder of the fellowship that we can have, the reminder that your character, your nature, your essence is relational, and that's why we need this. We love it. We're encouraged by just being together. And so I thank you for this group, everybody in here, for the just the way that the love that I feel for each other in here, feel for us, for you. And so we thank you for that. It's a blessing. And we pray that we would encourage the missionaries as they encourage us, Lord, for the just the work they do, the roller coaster existence they must have in terms of just working through problems like Brad was talking about last week and issues and doing it in service of you. So I pray they'd be encouraged. Thank you for Simon being here today. And I pray that you would teach us and lead us and inform us through him today and have him be encouraged. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, Brad, I'm going to let you.
And I guess you can also close it there or you or Simon.
So it's my my great privilege to introduce Timon and Laura Flores. They are missionaries with World Reach in Colombia. Simon and Laura, Laura is actually in Colombia right now. She's gonna have a baby in 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And her name is gonna be Evelyn. They have a little girl named Belen. And actually, Colleen and I were there 2 years ago for a team retreat with the Colombian team. And a day and a half later, Laura gave birth to Belen. We got stuck in the mud and almost did not escape from that camp where we had our retreat. But, Simone's a great missionary. God's really using both him and Laura. They work with, they're in charge of all the youth evangelism, youth outreach, that we have youth camps that he leads up. And he's doing a great job. He's been working with World Reach since he was 18. He used to translate for Bobby Wilson. I don't know if y'all know. Bobby's our director now. But Simone?
Good morning. I don't know if I'm too loud, just let me know. I usually speak in a loud voice. So this is Simon Flores. As Brad introduces, this is my wife, Laura, and our daughter, Belen. And we're here in Colombia, right in the middle, where we call the coffee axis area. We grow a lot of coffee. So, we got good stuff there. This is how our mountains look like. It's a beautiful place. I invite you to come down there to. We have a lot of tourism in our area. It's a growing area. They're building a lot of buildings. And we have landscapes like this, close to where I actually live. And, but not all, everything is good. You know, we have also a lot of bad things going on. I'm not going into details on this, but our area, it's, the suicide and risk and percentage is pretty high where we are located. We have a couple of suicides going on among the youth, actually, in our location. And also, you know, drugs is a big thing right now. It's been growing in the last decade. And also, I think there are many people just abandoning the church religion in general. And so it's we've seen this and experienced this. So that's why we do youth training. We want to, go to the youth and the children while they're young. We started 10 years ago a ministry in a poor area outside our city. This is 20 miles from where I actually live. And something that you have to know about this place is that 25 years ago there was this terrible earthquake where many people were killed, some houses fell off and buildings and so on. So what the government did was they built these small houses and they moved the poorest that have lost everything outside the city to this small town called Tebaida, and they gave out those houses away for free. So, fast forward 25 years, these people still live there. They have families, but, they have grown with this mentality of, you know, what I can get from others. And so they have a lot of poverty there and alcohol abuse, all kind of stuff. And so we started ministry there 10 years ago. I joined that 5-6 years ago with my wife. She's been serving there for 8 years. And we go to these children and youth once a week. We teach God's word to them. But as you can see in the picture, we're gathering on the streets. So that's a place of gathering under sun and rain. And we've been there just trying to reach those kids. And yeah, that's my Belen there. She's enjoying some snack while I'm preaching to the youth. This actually was taken by my wife. And we separate the groups there. We have 60 kids in total. And I normally take the older ones, 12 to 16, 17, and we have, you know, Bible class. I ask them questions. And recently one of the boys was telling me, you know, my dream, I was asking them, what would you like to become one day? And one of them said, I would like to be a narco. That means I would like to, my dream is to become a drug dealer. And it's because, you know, they see this is the reality they live each day, and they see, you know, young men having the, you know, fancy cars, you know, the power, the guns, the money, and they're pretty poor. So they that's the dream. And I was thinking, like, what if we can change that, you know? And it's not going to be me. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, right? Who can, like, through the gospel, transform this young man's life and just his desires and his even his dreams. So this is, I'm not going to show that one, but so that's why we are there. And let me stop that for a second. We don't need the audio of that. Let me.
Yeah, that's probably yeah.
So let me talk what I showed you. This is one youth camp with youth training that we did last year in the jungle. So part of our ministry has been spreading so much. We have a Bible Institute among the, you know, in the jungle. And, we realized soon enough that they were not passing, you know, the ministry to the youth. And, so we basically decided to go there. This is us. We got a lot of supplies. We were actually invited to make this youth camp in one of their indigenous communities. This is the house of one of the pastors. We had to fly there because there is no roads to get into the jungle. So you have to fly into a small town. They were doing some prep, and then we had to take the boats to actually get into the community. So we were ready to have like 60 to 80 youth in this youth training, but we end up having the whole community there. So we have end up having like over 130 people there. Children, youth, adults, they all came by. So this is us getting, chicken, that's frozen chicken. We got like over 200 kilos of chicken to get to the community. And they really enjoy our time. It was like, 5 or 6 days there. Every day we'll take the time to do devotional worship, opening God's word, teach them small groups. And that was really exciting to just see the transformation that God brings to that. That was the small huts where we had to spend the nights. They built this especially for us because they normally sleep on hammocks. So we didn't want to sleep on hammocks. And so that's why they came up with that. So, as I was sharing, there was 5 or 6 days in the jungle living among the community, and they were so excited. We actually were able to give out over 100 Bibles. We partnered with a ministry that gave us over 70 Bibles for free. And it's just amazing to, just bring God's word to them. They all speak different languages there. We had 3 different communities come and join our youth camp. So each community has their own indigenous language, but they all speak Spanish. So we had so good gospel presentation. And by the end of the week, I remember this young man coming to us and saying, you know what? I really believe that you have brought us the truth. you know, the first day when you first came here, the first night, I was like, I don't know what you're doing here. But I've been hearing you and hearing what you have to say, and I think that's, you know, what you're teaching us is the truth. I used to believe in the big serpent that laid the eggs, and that's where the communities came from. And now I'm hearing that you're speaking about this God who is creator, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And I think that's true. And I was just standing there and like, you know, this man just understood the gospel. And he started to confess his sins and some things that, you know, were going on in his own life and with his family. And it was just amazing to see like the transformation God brought to that community and some individuals there. So that's part of what we do. We work on a weekly basis in a, you know, with 60 kids in back home where we live, but we also put together these youth camps where we gathered our whole team. We're four couples in Colombia spread in different cities. And we just put this together. Yeah, this is another one. This is actually in the jungle where I'm talking to you about. So these are the houses. They look like that. They love playing sports. So if any of you is a fan of, you know, playing soccer, I invite you to come to the jungle of Colombia and play some soccer with some of the guys that we're doing playing some soccer in the afternoons after we have the bubble, study the whole morning from 6 a.m. to noon, and then just enjoy the afternoon and, have some teaching during the night too. So, that's them playing there. They really enjoy the, you know, they're women. They're pretty strong. Like, I think they beat me, you know, in soccer. Yeah. I admire, you know, those women in this setting. So as you can see, it's all jungle. They have a big lake, dolphins. It's a beautiful place, but they really need the gospel. They have a church there in their community, but, I would say that most of the indigenous people, they are, they just believe, you know, their stuff, and they also want to believe the gospel. But it's just hard, you know, you cannot believe in animism and also believe in God. You know, you just have to make your decision. And that's why we challenge them to really, you know, go for God. It's God or nothing. It's Jesus or nothing. He's the only way to salvation. So it's pretty exciting. Okay, I'm going to move forward and talk a little bit about what we do on a weekly basis, going back a little bit. And my wife and I, we are really engaged and learning to engage on relational discipleship. We really believe that this is our strong way to reach the youth in Colombia. So what we normally do is that I go to play soccer with some of our guys. God has allowed me to, during the last year, to raise six young men, and I'm walking alongside them. I'm not sure that all of them are believers, but all of them are seekers. So we just, you know, I was just meet them once a week. Sometimes we play soccer or go for a coffee and just talk to them. And, you know, recently a young man approached me and said, we're going to, you know, play some soccer. And he approached me and said, I need to tell you something. And I stopped and say, yeah, what was that? And, he said, you know, 3 years ago before meeting you and, you know, start coming to church, he's been really faithfully attending church and, you know, really committed. He said, I felt so alone that my only escape was to, gather some money I have in my pocket and go and pay for a woman to sleep with her, a prostitute. And, he was telling me, like, I felt so void. I felt so empty the very next morning. And he paused there, and that was a great opportunity for me to share the gospel, you know. And I was telling him, like, you know what? I think I know why you feel like that. You're trying to feel, you know, what's on your heart with something that was not God. And that doesn't really work. You know, you need him to fill you up. He's the only hope for you. And yeah, you know, I was able to just share Christ and, you know, share how He's the only way for salvation. He's the only one who can fill your heart. I don't know about you. Are you convinced of that? He's the only hope for sinners. He's the only one who can fill your heart. And so he's on a seek. Recently this year, we're on an activity with the youth, and we're writing some like goals and purpose for this year. And he put in one of the papers he filled out, I really want to know God. So that's it's simply amazing, you know, just to walk alongside a young man. He's I think 22, 23 years old, and he really wants to know the Lord. And God has just provided us ways to just connect with them and, you know, teach them God's word. And I'm going to take some of the, you know, recruitized materials, and try to use those with them. So I think that's really important. So that's one of my boys right there. Two of them actually right there. We're having a Bible study in their homes, and we got one on Zoom. So for the people who's on Zoom, we use that too. So part of our ministry is also with the leadership training. God has allowed us to open 4 Bible institutes in Colombia, where we train more than 100 pastors and church leaders. I take part of those. This is actually our Bible Institute in the jungle. As you can see, we have pastors that cross the river. This is pretty close to Venezuela, right on the border. If you cross the river, you're on Venezuela, and we meet on this side of Colombia. So they have planted like over, I don't know, probably over 30 churches in that area, you know, going into the river. They actually invite me and say, you know what, like, we can go on a boat 2 days to this small community. Would you like to join us? And I was like, I don't know. it's a, you know, pretty tough area. But as I say, like, you know, they are going themselves into their own communities, reaching them with the gospel. So it's really exciting to just train them and, you know, give them tools to just go and reach their own people. And we get to participate in that. And, you know, like, if you are interested in that, please pray for us as we go and teach our, you know, those pastors to teach their own people and reach them with the gospel. I was invited last year to preach at one of the pastors that we met years ago. We've been working with the pastor at least 8-10 years. And we did some a conference in his church for the 26th anniversary. And then I was invited back to do a youth camp in their city with their youth too. And we had like just wonderful stories. A young lady was present during the conference, and her mom approached me and said, you know what, I want to serve God, but my husband, he's not interested in following God. And I encourage her and say, you know, you continue praying for him. And her daughter was with her. She was not a believer. And I found out 2 months after the conference that through the conference, she was converted. Mm-hmm. And she actually joined our, you know, the youth camp we had afterwards. So that was amazing. And I think this is, let's see. Oh yeah. This is the Bible Institute that we have in Cúcuta. This is right on the border with Venezuela. This is the mountains. That's Venezuela. You can see from Colombia side. And this is our Bible Institute. We have over 35 to 40 students down there, and we are teaching God's word to them and training them. And this church has planted 3 other churches right in the border with Venezuela. And this is our tough places. This is actually one of the churches they have planted. As you can see, it's nothing like Briarwood, you know. They don't have a fancy building. Actually, you can see the neighborhood is pretty tough. Gangs, you know, just people who have moved from Venezuela to this part of Colombia. And it's just a broken place. But They are planting the church in that side of the country, and they are excited, and they just, you know, the gospel has been proclaimed in that area. And as you can see, if you get to the small building, it's packed with adults and children. You know, there are over 80 people. You cannot really see from there, but there are all over 80 people gathering there each week to hear God's word. And it was such a privilege to be part of that. And as I say, as we train our students, they are going out and reaching other people. So such a privilege to be a part of what God is doing there. And this is the pastor I was showing you previously in this picture on your right, on the blue shirt. This is how, you know, it's been some raining in his area. So this is how his church is looking right now. So he actually lives there next to the church. So they have, you know, some raining there, and it's pretty flooded. So please pray for them. And as I say, we have been partnering with them for years. And we've been seeking to help them a whole lot. So
you have to start a Bible.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for the reminder. We are looking to open a Bible, another Bible Institute there in that city. So please pray for them. They have, like, I think over 30 people, 30 church leaders and pastors that want to be trained there. So what's next? As I was sharing, you know, God has put in our hearts to build a youth center. This is the current place where we are meeting the 60 kids that I was telling you about earlier. And we want to come up with something there, because we've been there for 10 years and we see gathering in the streets. I was meeting with 5 volunteers that God has allowed us to raise in the last couple of years. I was training them during those years, and I asked them this recently: what do you think God is, you know, want us to be doing there in 5 years in this location? And they all say, I think God is moving us to plant a church there. And we are really excited. And, you know, I was thinking in these kids, one of them was the one that said he wants to be a drug dealer. So I was thinking, like, what if the gospel can just transform that community? And this is us meeting there on the streets. And we want to come up with a, you know, youth center. This is one of the properties we're looking and just praying over that to just, you know, God to provide the funds to build that. So we just, you know, would you just join us in praying for that as we just seek to, you know, build a youth center that we can reach children and youth, and eventually turn it into a church. We don't want to just stop with the children and youth. We want to really reach, you know, parents and everybody. So please pray for that. We've been, you know, researching some of that. And, it's just a huge opportunity. The, you know, potential site is really close to where we gather. So we are excited about that. Okay, I think I will stop there. And if you have some questions, I would love to answer some of those. Yeah. Any questions? Yeah, please. Yeah, we are waiting for financial help. We just put together this last year. You know, we've been praying for that for 2 years. And I think, like, on my perspective, you know, my wife and I, we are not ready to move to pursue something like that, because it's a big project. But as I was sharing, God has allowed us to train in the last couple of years, actually 4 couples. And that will help us, and they are volunteers to help us run this youth center. So we are really glad that, you know, other people has been coming on board and aligning with that vision. So yes, that's what we're praying for. Yeah,
it could also be a multi-use, like church, you know, playing
exactly
there.
Yeah,
other activities in that.
So. Yeah. There's no church currently. There's no church in that community that you can take the, you know, the youth or the children were converted. There's no church there. that you can recommend or go. So we're really, you know, there's no other ministries doing much there. So we really want to reach them with the gospel by establishing church there. So please pray for that. Yeah. Any other question? Yeah.
Your photo shows the border of Venezuela and Venezuela coming over here from Colombia. Why is that the implication of that? Why do they come to you? And what is the implication of Venezuela's situation under Venezuela?
So that's, yeah, thank you for that question. 5 to 6 years ago, as you might heard some of this, you know, Venezuela just hit a crisis, a political crisis, social crisis. So many of the Venezuelans moved back to not only Colombia, but many other countries, Peru, Ecuador. So we have this massive, group or, many people refugees, thank you, and moving from, you know, just leaving Venezuela and looking for refuge somewhere. So we had a lot of Venezuelans crossing the, you know, the border 5-6 years ago, millions, I would say, of them. And they didn't have a lot of money, you know, the crisis there was terrible. So that's where they just move somewhere. And some of those Venezuelans are like squatters. I don't know if that, you know, are you familiar with that? They just, you know, find a place where they can just put a tent or something where they can live. So the video I was showing, that's church there is there because most of the population there, they're just squatters, you know. They just come and just build a house there and they just live there. And, so they're Venezuelans. Yeah, most of them are Venezuelans. And that's the importance of planting churches there, you know, because otherwise it would be hard for them just to come to the cities and attend a church. That's hard. We have seen that we really need to go to them and not expect them to for them to come to us. So I don't know if this answers your question, but there is a big need of, you know, reaching out Venezuelans. So, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking at your potential youth center. Do you want to start the church before you go for the youth center, or are you going to parallel? Or what do you do?
We are planning to first start with the youth center. As I say, we don't have a place of gathering. We're on the streets right now. So with the youth center, we allow us to have like a, you know, building a location, safe for us to meet. We're currently meeting once a week for 2 or 3 weeks with them. So because we are on the streets, we cannot gather during the night time. You know, you don't want 60 kids just gathering for, you know, in a tough neighborhood at 6-7 p.m. So this facility will ask to meet regularly, even 2 or 3 times a week with them. So it will probably start with the youth center and then eventually turn into a church. As Abra was saying, like this would be like a multi-use building. We want to, you know, also bring teams from the States to come and help us. We have, in the past, we have done like a dental campaigns where we bless the community to, you know, through doing that. So yeah, that would be like a really strategic location for us to move forward.
What's the need for the fine?
I would say just, reaching the community.
How much money?
Thank you. So basically, so I was looking at this property right there that costs like $60,000. It's, over 200 meters square, property. And, so if we think on building someone, furnishing and all that, that would be probably over $300,000. So it's a big project. And as I said, I don't have a penny of that money right now, but God does. So please pray for us. And, you know, you can also like sign up to our newsletter to check. And I normally send, one newsletter once a month to, you know, just follow up what God is doing there. And, just follow what we have been doing with the youth, and we'll continue to do with them. So you can do that. I have some more. Oh, that's picture of our 60 kids. This was December last year. And, some ways for you to help would be like just pray for the youth center. It's a big project. We just launched that, and we're just, you know, praying for some people to provide financially for that. We also need discipleship materials and Bibles for the youth and for some more pastors. And also, a motorcycle would be a great way for me to move into the city. We have a crowded city. That's how traffic looks like. So,
what?
Yeah. So you can see the motorcycles just going through. As I was describing, I meet my, you know, young men on a, you know, weekly basis. I got like sometimes 3 meetings on the same day. So I go to different places, meet them, you know, pray for them, study gospel with them. So motorcycle would be a good way to move, to go further, faster, and to save some money on gas too. So that's a good way to help. And also you can fund, you know, one young man or woman, with a gift of $100 to attend for a youth camp. That's also a way to help. So this is, my contact, sflores@word/reach.org. That's my cell phone right there. If you want to sign up to this, I have some sign up sheets that I would like to consider after, you know, you can come to me and put your name and email and all that, and I will send some more information through that, and you can, you know, follow what we're doing. So, and yeah, as I said, you can reach out through email all the time. So there you can get some more information. I don't know if there's time for maybe one more question. Okay, also still got some, yeah. So.
Telling
Bible stories, or are you going to the gospel, what kind of things are you teaching them? And when you talk about, you heard any impact stories that they or their family have had?
Yeah, thank you for that question.
Yes, we each week we go and basically we do Bible stories, and so we are really heavy on like sharing the gospel through Bible stories. You know, all the Bible points us to Christ, and that's what we want our youth and children to know and experience, just going to Christ, you know, just meeting Christ wherever they are, you know, no matter what difficulty. We got, two of our youth, they are both orphans. They lost both parents to heart attack, and also the mother passed away from cancer in a 2-year gap. So they're just, you know, they're living with grandmother, grandfather, and grandmother, and they're pretty poor. And recently we were able, you know, one of them, the young man, it's a young man and young woman, he prayed to receive Christ, and he actually graduated from high school, which is a highlight because most of our kids, they drop school at, you know, 8th, 9th grade. They just, you know, they don't finish school. They just get into a gang, or they just get into drugs, and they just, you know, just lose interest. So he actually graduated from high school, which is a good thing. And we help him to go to, it's not college, but it's like more like vocational study to pursue like a job, and to just, you know, you cannot just share Christ, which is, you know, what we have to do. But we also want to, you know, help these kids to get like a job, to get something. So I think that's a good way to help them as well. And I think that's a way to, you know, this youth center will help us to be more present and to just provide some, useful ways to just, you know, stop perpetuating that cycle where they are, you know, just getting into gangs and drugs and just broken families, alcohol. So, this is a good way to break that. So thank you for that question. I don't know if that answers your question. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other question? Yeah. Oh, thank you for that question. Yeah. So they, in, you know, the political environment, we have, our president right now is not a good president. He's pursuing like, you know, like sexual revolution and, just he's been hard on the church. And, he's more of a socialist, I would say, and really against Christianity in general. And, that really affects because he's not really taking care of the, you know, of the poor people, but he's more like into just giving things to them, which I would say like in my country that really perpetuates like poverty. We have these people that just helping, you know, they're getting help from the government, but they spend that on drugs or alcohol. So they don't really came out of poverty and they don't really get a job. So that has not really helped to, you know, in this context that I'm talking about, like, you know, that kind of politics that doesn't really help to get them out of there, but to perpetuate what they're into. So yeah, please pray for our country. It's been elections are going to be soon this year, on August. So, yeah, we need a change in politics too. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that question. Any other question? Maybe a last one? Last question? No?
Yeah, I have one.
But yeah.
Or manufacturing in these areas that people from Mexico work itself, except this is basically a very poor area.
Right. Yeah. They are some factories there, but I would say like the most important like business there is tourism. But this is, our city is a small city, but it's really like the, you know, the tourism is a big thing there. And some of the families there in this community work for like resorts. They have built like different resorts in the area. So some of them go there and they do some cleaning and, you know, taking care of the pool and so on. So that's, I would say that's a way to like, you know, engage them, you know, just for them, like, for instance, like learning the language, you know, like through the youth center, we're thinking like we can have like English classes where we can teach the youth English. We have English classes. So for them to just, you know, become interpreters or, you know, touristic guides to take like teams and show them the city. You know, that's a way that, a possible way of getting a job. So that's something that we can, you know, we've been thinking about that and praying about that. Yeah.
If somebody wanted to give to that youth center, how could they do that?
They could do that. Thank you for that question. They could do like, they could do the QR code. And go to our website, worldreach.org, and, you can just, make a note, a donation to Simon Flores or the Flores family and make a note saying, you know, this is for either Bibles or, you know, camps, to fund camps or to the youth center. That's a way you can just, you know, make a note saying like this donation goes to this Flores family, but specifically for this or that purpose. Right. Yeah. You have to do it through WorldReach and just designate it for the Flores family and make a note or a comment to go there. So.
Card.
Yeah. We have, yeah, I have cards here. If you want to sign up for that and I'll get you a card, you can do that, after we, you know, probably we pray. And, yeah, I would love to do that. And I have, you know, my table where I have more things to show you. So yeah, you can do that. Thank you for your question. Thank you for just considering Colombia as a country and the ministry we're doing there. We're so grateful, for those of you who pray for us and, you know, provide for the ministry. Just thankful. So thank you for having me this morning too. Appreciate that.
That's the Let's pray for Simone and Laura. Lord, we thank you so much for Simone and Laura. We just pray for them. We pray that your blessing on them continue to pour out your blessing. Use this couple for your glory, for your the extension of your kingdom, through your gospel and teaching your word. We pray you'd use them to save many people, that many people would come to know Christ through their ministry.
and would grow, and that would be trained to reach others for Christ. That that many would come to know you, would be in heaven as a result of their work. We pray you bless Lauda and their two daughters, and especially bless Lauda when she has her baby in April. And take care and bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.